But let's go. Okay, so we're very excited today. Third installment. Warachabura. So it's up. For those who have not been with us before, one of the most beautiful things about this is we're learning to just try to grow in Avodas Hashem from anything. So Davka, the Masech that we're doing, the Sugyas we're learning, we're looking at opening our eyes in a new way. That was the first Chabura, opening our eyes in a new way. So we'll look at a Sugya we know already and we'll figure out how to grow from it. So today's Chabura is L'ul Nishmas, the baby who passed away last week. Am Yad Yisrael. So it should be L'ul Nishmato. Okay. So. Okay, very exciting Sugya actually. Because, you know, when you're in Nivnubi Gershi, you read Rashi well. So we're going to see Gemara Rashi Taisus. That's what we do. We'll start with there. So, you guys know the Gemara that Beis and the Beis saying, Chikamar Papa Shein V'Regel. Shein V'Regel Hechek Sivi. Where is Shein V'Regel in the Torah? Source 1. Detanya V'Shilach Zeharegel. Chin Omer M'Shach V'Regel Shov V'Chamor. And where does Shein come from? Beer Zuha Shein. The word beer comes from Shein, Chayo Omer, and the word beer means Shein. How do we know? Because it says Kasha Yuvar Agala Tuma, which literally means when you sweep away the excrement until it is gone. That's what that means. And you guys know Rashi, you know Hagalal. Ezra, what does Rashi say?
Forgot.
Right here, source 2. You don't have to forget.
Oh, right. Fantastic.
Alright, so pause there.
Sometimes you see the teeth and sometimes you don't.
Right, so the word galal. So the question is, how do you know that yaver, which is bezayin resh, which means consume, how do we know that refers to the teeth? That's basically what it is. That's the kasha. Rashi's saying because the word galal is in the pasuk, and galal means like legalot, to reveal. So it must be shein. Because the one thing which consumes, which is sometimes revealed and sometimes hidden, teeth. So, I mean, I read this Rashi in Merab Seger, you know what I'm saying? I was like, what is going on? Very strange Rashi. A lot of shilas. Number one, and, like, you know, I was hoping Rebbe read Rashi, you know, and like, yeah, you know, that's kasha. So, number one, if it's pa'am magula, pa'am machusa, first of all, think about a tooth. How is it more often covered or more often revealed?
Covered. Unless you smile.
Gold dust probably fine. Always revealed, right?
I think it depends on the person.
But in general, it's probably more often revealed that you're sleeping half of the day anyways. It's 12 hours a day already hidden.
Right.
So why is it called galal? Why is it galal? Why isn't it like chasa? Why is it called revealed, not hidden?
Because you actively have to reveal them.
Ooh, okay. That's good work. That's good work. That's good work. That's what I think that's a good answer. But this is one kasha. The good answer. Maybe there's more answers. Another one is, what does this Indian of Mechusa Megula have to do with the essence of what Shein really is? Shein's about Hana. So what does this have to do with Hana? Another one is what do we, like the fact that it was in the Navi coming from this, like, what's Shaykhus? What are we learning from this type of Limud? Could it be any kind of Limud? What are we coming to teach? And also, what can we learn from this mazik? What does it teach us about the mazik of Shein? Definitely for our purposes. So, I'll tell you guys a little bit. There's a Jew that a lot of people have heard of named Revolbi. So you should, good. Appropriate reaction, good. So, I think of Revolbi unbelievably because... You know why?
It's just so fire. And it's also a unique kind of Muslim also.
Why?
Because it teaches you how to learn Torah more than anything. That's why I liked it.
I felt that when I learned Rav Volbi's Svarim. In addition, there's a couple other Rebbeim like this, like Rav Yerucham, Rabbi Nachman, and the Pius Etzner, but also specifically Rav Volbi, you're reading a Sefer that gets you. That's what I feel when I'm reading a Svarim, which is like unbelievable, because the Pius Etzner writes also in the beginning of his Sefer that you can write a book of Divrei Torah, and you can write a book of Musar ideas, but certain Rebbeim talk to the student where he is. And Rav Volbi really, like, he understands the human personality so well, so deeply, that, like, I feel like he's always talking to me whenever he writes anything. Like, he gets me. That's why, like, Revolvi is...
Text.
Nachon.
You're not even... you don't even get to see the Meherat.
Well, here's over here.
Oh, okay,
of it.
We do.
But, like, that's what Revolvi... So, Revolvi was born... So, I actually know anything about his history. I looked it up a little bit. He was born... Get this. Born in Berlin. Went to University of Berlin.
Maybe you went over this.
Who else went to the University of Berlin?
The Rav.
And?
The Rebbe.
And?
Nachum Leibowitz.
And at Revolvi also. I don't know if it's the same time, but you have to think about it. If Berlin is the center of the world as far as enlightenment and knowledge, University of Berlin is the number one college in the world, probably. Which you didn't even realize. What?
It might have been great people went to Harvard, like Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, all these great...
No, but not these Rebbeim. These Rebbeim.
I'm saying the equivalent.
This was the Harvard of 100 years ago.
It was an equivalent.
Oh, okay.
Well, just like all these great, any great thinker of the 20th century went to University of Berlin.
Yes, that's so cool. So Revolvi was there also. Wow. So he was born to a non-religious family, which is cool, Baal Tshuva. In college, in University of Berlin, he got in touch with like a Jewish organization.
Chabad.
Not Chabad.
The Rebbe.
There was no Rebbe then. Well, there's no Chabad in it. Whatever. But anyways, he gets in touch with this group. Eventually, not Choser, because he never was from... But he became from, ends up going to the Mir in Europe, learns under Rav Yerucham, which, by the way, is cool because he learned that Indian of like getting the Talmud, getting the student. And then eventually he went to, during the Holocaust and the war, he was in Sweden, he was hiding away. He was like by a cousin or something, he was a Rav Yishol a little bit, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, where he was the Mashgiach of Yishol called Ber Yaakov for like 30 years. So that's Revolvi's story of his life. And if you ever hear someone call, like, say the word the Mashkiach, it's usually either talking about Rav Yerucham or Revolvi. Like, because they were unbelievable Mashkiachim. They say, like, Rav Yerucham, his Rebbe, during the Holocaust, the Mir, you know, went through Shanghai. Right. And they didn't lose a single Bachar. Meaning that a single guy, like, crumbled from the pressure, etc. Like, whole world, they thought they were only base matters in the world still learning Torah. But, like, no one crumbled, no one, like, their families were all killed, everyone was wiped out, but the Chaver stayed strong, and they say it was all because of Yerucham. Because he was able to mechazik everyone. Anyways, this is Revolvi's Talmud. And Revolvi has an Indian.
Which Mashiach, which I think Rabbeinu's favorite Mashkiach is when Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was the Mashkiach giving Dibur Maser to visit the Mir.
I don't know. Okay, fine, but check this out. This is, he has his Torah, which I've learned like 6 or 7 times. And when I found out that not everybody knows it, I was like, everyone has to know this. More do you fly down this? Chelak Aleph. Yimei Av, Yimei Sinah.
Alright, let's go.
So we'll read some of it. We'll skip around. So, look in the beginning. Kol nimsa tkufa mimusheches b'makom Torah. Makir heitev zmani aliyah zmani yirida ha-mischalfim tadir. If you've ever been in a place of Torah of growth, then you know that there's times of going up, ascending, like feeling great, Bisman ha'yirida, in times of feeling very, very low, that are constantly switching. Bisman ha'aliyah, in times when things are great, what he calls the yimei ahava, hatzlacha, kalas ha'tvisa, ha'aros, shakushis v'tirutzim, kavona b'tvila, yachasim tov mechaveirim, everything's great, you're learning what you're davening, all your friends, everyone's getting together, having ha'aros, having good kashas, good tirutzim. Bisman ha'yirida, though, in times that are not as good, when you're feeling low, Kashim b'tfisa, you're having tough time even chapping the sugya. Stima samayana, so you feel as if you feel like you can't even chadish anything. Kvedus b'tfisa, you can't dive and rikam echaverim, you don't feel close with your friends. Two words you may ava, two words you may sinner. Times that are great and times that are bad. And he says, everyone in any yeshiva, you know what this is like, you felt this before. Am I right? Go get some nods, approval, yeah? Been there? So, he quotes now Gemara Rashi, and now we're going to do a Tosis. Beinatam wrote a sefer called what's it called again? Something Orchot Yosher, I think. Sefer Yosher. And he brings this Indian up, and he basically says when you start anything, you have these switchings up of the Av Yimei Sina, and now look, you see the first one is Beinahem, and there's 3 dots after it.
Yeah.
So, all the end of the line. This is step number one. What do you do when you have this feeling of really great and then feeling of really low? And how do you deal with it? Number one, kitz. You see where?
Yeah.
Kitzarech lebal ha'avoda lahakir b'tchilas avodaso ki ha'ava v'asinan al-chamim shneihem. That's what you gotta do. You have to realize. Step one in this battle of ups and downs of life is realizing this happens. Pam yigbar echo to pam yigbar esheni. Sometimes I'm feeling great, sometimes I'm not feeling great. Val kein ein sarf betchilas avodah l'schoshishim yakots. Don't be nervous if you're hating what you're doing. Kizem mishpar ha'av betchilas. That's the way it works. Yitagil tachas yidua v'tachtal. And it gets better. And then acharkach tashu v'deschazik v'deschadish kaneshu. And then he says the sinner comes back. And then he says, Al yihye no'ash bavoda, don't give up. Rak yeda, ki lekeit yamim titchalif. If you're in a really bad zone, you haven't, let's say you've been able to come to Seder in a week, so you've been saying for finals, you've been davened in a week, whatever it is, recognize that it's going to switch. Okay, in Tzor Hamaski, l'roso ki tkanis asinib libo, l'val yaniach kol hamaisa. Don't give up.
So what he's saying here is now, like, yeah, everyone has this, and it comes in different ways and in different waves and different amounts of time. But when you're just not into it, you're not down. So you might think, okay, fine, like, I'm not down for Seder today, so like, what am I going to do? Like, listen, I'll do homework now. Like, I'll come back tomorrow, I'll be feeling better. He says, you can't do that. Because in the Yimei Sinah, in times that you're just not into anything, you have no energy to do it, you got to hold the line. The way I think of it is like a war. When you're fighting a war, have you ever seen any really good gory war movies? Probably like 300 is probably like a classic, whatever. Or like, even I'm thinking Gladiator, though, honestly, because in the middle of the... You guys, Gladiator,
anyway?
Yeah,
that's like
a
classic war.
Right, fine. So, but in a more classic war, that's a little more guerrilla warfare.
Well, the point that they had a
storming the beach.
Said,
oh, we'll hold this line. Ah, good, excellent. So, fine. So, there's two things you do when you're fighting the war. Excellent. Yeah, good point. When you're advancing, and you've got the advantage, you're in the momentum. You're moving. You're conquering. And then there's times when, like, you're under fire. And when you're under fire, if you retreat, if you run away, you've lost everything you've gained. So when you're under fire, says Rav Volbi, you need to hold the line. Don't try to advance. Don't try to move forward in you're under fire. That's not going to work. So you know it's not going to work. But if you retreat, you lose everything. That's what he says. If you leave it, Yovad Menu, it'll be totally gone. You lose it all. So, step one is realize what's going on. If you're like in a really, really bad zone, realize I'm in a bad zone. This is normal. Like, this number one thing in psychology is recognizing, like, validating your own feelings. Like, it's okay. And I know it's bad. But it's going to get better soon, because that's how we work naturally. That's step one. And then step two is saying, okay, fine. So now I know it's a rough time. Like, I'm not going to try to learn extra night Seder tonight. I'm not going to try to do this. I'm going to go to Seder from 9 to 12. I'm going to go to Shacharis. I'm not gonna enjoy it. I'm not gonna have a good davening. Maybe I'm gonna sit in shir. I'm gonna do what my parents say. Whatever, like, and you do it, and you might even hate it. But if you're smarter than your feelings, then you know. Okay, fine. This is gonna end. This is gonna switch. This is gonna be over soon. Right? And the key to this, I think, in my mind, is the recognition. Yes, sir.
I was curious what your thoughts were about this. It just seems to me from the lashon that he was using for Zman Yerida that it wasn't necessarily that you were doing, say, an avera. It was more of a lack
of passion.
Of passion.
Like you're feeling dead.
Meaning, would he, I don't know if there is a difference, but would you say that he would say the same thing if you go even further than that? And
definitely.
It's less than a lack, more than a lack of passion, is that you're actually doing things that aren't better.
I mean, it's often that happens.
Right.
That you're feeling low, and then you don't act as your higher self, you act as like your lower self, and like you're not being who you could be, you're being like where you are not, right?
So you think he's talking about both scenarios?
For sure.
He's talking about Makom Torah, though. He's talking about Yeshiva, so typically...
But he's talking just
not,
to a guy in Yeshiva.
Where it goes.
But he's definitely saying... Inside of Ba'adam Asher Lo Yach, you know, everyone does avaras, and davka in the hard times when you're not into it. Like if you're excited by davening, you're not gonna miss davening.
But if you're like feeling dead about davening, and like yesterday you didn't go, and like you're like in bed and you remember you didn't have marav, and like you just whatever, like it's not a mitzvah, right? It's not a good thing. It's could be an aveira even, but like you have to know how to work through that, and to know that maybe I did an aveira 5 minutes ago, and but recognize, okay, fine, I'm in the zmana, you read this, let me just try to hold the line, let me just try to do my best, but not to expect. The key is like it's extremely deeply psychological, like to not expect too much. Know where you are, know that this is happening, and let it be. It
seems like there's a bit of an assumption that you'll never, then there will never be a retreat.
No, it's saying you shouldn't.
Exactly.
It's not saying you're never going to happen.
Part of the, meaning, my assumption when you say Yerida is that there's advancement and there's retreat.
Right.
But it seems like at the end of the paragraph, in Yanei Akevat HaKol, that like, no, this all the progress has to maybe temporarily stop, which is Yerida, because there's lack of advance.
Right.
But it's not like Pashup Shah Yerida. It's only Yerida in the sense that time is, there is, I guess, a waste of time.
Yeah, in Yeshiva, that's what it is. That's why he's talking about the Yeshiva, because in Yeshiva it's time to grow, right? So when you're not growing in Yeshiva, you're pretty much going down.
I would keep that premise at all times, right?
I think yeshiva daf is when it happens. I think about in like yeshivas in Israel, like specifically coming from a pretty like intense yeshiva like Rishi, like the guys who weren't growing, it wasn't just like other yeshiva was like, alright, at least they're staying status quo. It's like, if this guy's not growing, he's literally gonna go to like whatever college he was supposed to go to before.
Right.
So like, I guess the absence of growth is a retreat. It's a retreat to what I'm not supposed to be in, and my inability to get over that.
Yeah. Right now he's not talking about like falling to the depths of the earth. He's talking about natural ups and downs that we all experience normally.
I guess retreat has like a negative feeling when you're talking about life and death, you know?
Right, yeah, nachon.
He can't find it.
Yeah, exactly. So I learned this Torah.
They died in private, right?
I learned this idea years ago. Someone told me about it. And it's grown with me. Meaning, it's especially important as we get older. It's a Torah which matures like a fine wine, this idea. Because you're not always in yeshiva. So then you leave yeshiva, and let's say you're going to, like, you're moving somewhere else, and, like, it's not just a few days where, like, you haven't davened well during finals, but, like, now it's been, let's say, 3 months. And, like, you've been putting on tefillin in your apartment every day because, like, you have to get to work on time. And, like, the scariest thing is when people say the two words of Zani. This is me. If you haven't gone to shacharis in 3 months, and you live, let's say, in some... somewhere in the city, whatever, and it's like, I haven't got it 3 months, and like, I used to go to Dali, used to be on fire, whatever, but like, it's not me anymore, like, this is me now, I don't do this, then you lose the battle, right? That's the most dangerous thing, to say, this is me now. But to say, okay, I know it's a phase, and I can get out of it, and to wait for the opportunity to get out of it, instead of accepting it now, that's healthy, to recognize this cycle. Right? And
what I don't like about that the most, I still hear people say it in YU, like, that was, the Shana Bet was
Nahon.
Like the peak, and...
Nahon. By defining yourself...
Jonathan Sachs came to give Moser at Mishmar, he's like, imagine what a tragedy would be if, like, 19 years old was like the peak.
Think of your life.
What you were saying about so much done defining yourself.
Yeah.
But by definition, if we're trying to establish, I guess as our sublux could say, the baseline,
mm-hmm.
like where you are, aren't you by definition defining yourself as to where you are in a certain sense? So you do want to...
Right, but saying being complacent. Meaning like I'm stuck here. Like I no longer want... Like if you say that you may sin...
You're supposed to define yourself at your optimal point, and then there on...
By what you could be. Keep
I'm
on growing. Yeah. What I'm saying is if you
define
yourself...
You yourself at a certain point and establish that as your baseline, and then use that...
Right, I'm saying don't define yourself as the may sinner. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't define yourself.
You were describing was a hitiyah shud zani. It wasn't a...
Right. It's a believing that I have given up.
Right.
Which is... And like, that's what I'm saying, like... When I was in Shalavim and I learned this idea, it's okay, fine, like I had 3 bad days, I had 4 bad days, I had 3 bad weeks, whatever. It's like, I'll get back up, I'll get back in the Seder. Soon it's going to mean something much deeper, much much bigger, much longer. It could be 10 years of Yimei Sinah. But if you don't give up, right? And this is true when it comes to learning, it's true when it comes to davening, but also, very interestingly, when it comes to dating also. That when, if you're able to know this about yourself... that I have ups and downs, and you can know that I'm dating a girl and it's been a month and a half and all of a sudden I hate her or something like that. Like, I'm just not down anymore, but like the first month and a half was like amazing, but then like you have a few days where you're just like bothered, let's say, by her presence. If you don't know this ideal, you'll just be okay, fine, I'm done, I'm out of here. But if you know that like your moods change, and if it's been like a month and a half of great and like there's 2 days where you're not into it, it's probably your moods, bro. And like you get back in, like you have to know this. You have to know this is how we work. Right? That's how we work. The coolest thing about this is that Rav Kook says the same exact thing in his own words. And if you guys have ever learned Rav Kook, you know his words are incredible. So take a look at this for a second. But he says it, we'll read a couple of words. Source 4, top left. Mekor ha-galim ha-ruchniyim. The source of the spiritual waves, b'nefesh ha-chiditu va'olam, in the individual and in the whole world, him ba'im mipnei hit-amtsut ha-pnimit. They come from an inner strength. Shakol mitamit la'atim al-shifat ha-or ein-sof. That my whole being, or our whole beings, are trying to reach out to this infinite light of Hashem. And in one moment, the lightning is shining, brilliant light. And he actually explains like this. He says, like on a deeper level, we feel good when we're in touch with like Hashem, and then he continues to develop that, and then we get so close to Hashem, and then we realize like, okay, I'm nowhere. Like we're not going to same like kind of phraseology, like. You feel Meloch Chol Haaretz Kavodo, like I'm so close to Hashem, I feel great, and then you realize like there's an infinite distance between me and Him, and that brings you to the Meisina, and then you realize okay fine, you're like sort of depressed almost, you're feeling like no energy, and then all of a sudden again you feel like close to Hashem, and like that's how Rav Kook explains the same idea. But the coolest thing is what's gonna come out now. So I've spoken about this today sort of blast, and one day he comes over to me and he says, Ellie, like what's the point of the Meisina? Like, why did Hashem make this? Like, I know it's a nice idea from Revolvi, and like, it's really important, and like, it's how we are, but like, why did Hashem do this?
Maybe worth something.
So that's a good part.
Otherwise, what's it worth? It's easy for everyone.
That's like the poem.
So I explain Olam Haba to a lot of guys, like the JSS guys. I had a guy question me what Olam Haba is, I'm like, Olam Haba is the way to make it worth it.
So you're saying this is a challenge?
Challenge.
Okay. That's a good answer. Okay, so this is one of the challenges, basically. Okay, Morty's got a lot of good answers.
Like the Becherach of She kind of answer?
Yeah, he's saying like this makes it art. It's part of the journey.
Yeah, I guess it's sort of along the same lines, but otherwise it would be malachim in a certain sense that if you're...
But there's still challenges in the me'ava. Right? Like, if you had a great day, there's still challenges. That's what I'm saying. Like, why Daka did you make a time of negativity when you're feeling negative and you're hating on everything and like, this stinks and that stinks and like, this is bad and like, why does it make us negative in certain times?
Yeah, that's where you get... tested.
So you gotta understand the test.
What do you mean?
So there's a cute poem that Effie once showed me. That's one answer, but we're not gonna go into that. Just that in order to have good times, you need to know when times are bad. Also,
that's the secret to your favorite times better. Poems.
What? Exactly. So that's a poem called "I Wish You Enough." It's a cute poem. You know the poem? I wish you enough. Look into it. It's an interesting poem. It's cute.
That doesn't belong next to the Revolvi.
Yeah. But I think even deeper.
I wasn't going to go on
the is that, think about this. Think about some happy-go-lucky guy who has a broken chair. And he's like so happy with everything that he's okay that his chair is broken. So it has three legs, and it falls a lot, and he gets bruised. But like, everything's great. Like, you know those guys. Like, I don't need a chair. Whatever. If he never has times of negativity, only being positive, he'll never know his chair's even broken. He's only looking at the best in everything, always, and never feeling down at all, a drop, never sad. How's he going to know when things are broken? How's he going to know how to fix things that are broken? If you always look at the world positively, you're never going to fix what's wrong. If you have let's say you have a president of YU who loves YU so much, everything about it, he never looks at what's wrong with it. So the tachlis of the Yimei Sina is for us to look at ourselves and see, okay, if I don't want to go to Seder today, I want to go play basketball instead, that means that my learning is not good enough. When I'm actually learning. And if I don't want to daven, and I want to go skiing, that means that my davening is not good enough. And it means when I'm doing davening right, I got to do a better job. That's what Rav Kook calls, look at this ayin for a second, the bottom here. This is in Shmona Kvatzim, which is like some of his personal writings. He writes, Yish Atzvus Kitana. There's like this small Atzvus, and yet the sadness, you have to get out of here. But end of the line, Yishna Atzvus Gedola. Atzvan is Gedola. Haba Belev Chochmei Lev. A sadness which comes in the heart, in the mind, of really deep people who know how to use sadness, use the Meisina, to grow. And in the Reish Tesvav, the paragraph above it, he says, Lo yosog achor libi mikol yitzavon shebo'olam. I wouldn't give up. I wouldn't let anybody take away my sadness from me. I understand that sadness reveals something deep about myself. So the times of sin, the times of flaws, when things are hard for us, they're actually revealing something very, very deep within us. It's pretty interesting, no? It's really, it's unbelievable. I'll tell you Gavar, what's the biggest darkness we've ever had as a nation? Korban, the Shoah, all parts of the exile. Exactly, the darkness of the Golos. Right, so the Golos has been basically the deepest Yimei Sina for our nation, right? What does Golos also mean? To reveal. Which means the deepest darkness is actually what reveals who we really are. Which means that we were sent to Golos into a deep Yimei Sina to find what's wrong with us and fix it. And that's why a whole nation's in Golos. It's like a kid who's kicked out of the house, and the parent says, like, when you figure out, like, how to behave, you can come back. Kicked out of class. So, like, you get kicked out, you're in Golos, you figure out how to behave, then you can come back. So all we gotta do is figure out how to behave. That's basically all you have to do. Yeah, I mean, that's, right? Like we're kicked out because of Averos. And all we talk about is the Averos, so we have to fix them. Like, it's very clear. The Galot. Galut is the Galot. Golos. Let's go. Golos. So that's why you gotta go to every corner of the Golos and find what we're good at again. So now let's go back to our kashas for a second. We looked at Rashi, right? And we wondered, why is it called Galal? If Pama Mechusa, Pama Megula. If sin is revealed, sin is in, why is it always called revealed? So Mordi HaGeteretz, because it's the act of revealing. That's what it is. Because the kisoy, the covering, is also revealing. Because the Galus is also Galut, the Galut, it's a Giloy. So even the hiding is revealing, like our whole idea was today about Yimei Sinah. That the darkness is really revealing. That's why it's called Galal. And Rashi, when he's talking about this whole Indian, is obviously hinting to what his grandson is going to talk about. Right? That was Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's grandson. So obviously, that's where he got it from, saying. This whole Vort is basically in Rashi. And now we're understanding why it's a Mazik. Because if you're focused on the hiddenness, and if you would have labeled yourself as Mechusa, like we said, if you label yourself as this is me, I am the Yimei Sinah, you don't realize that it's a cycle. So then it's the biggest danger of all. It's very hard to come back from such a thing. Once you label yourself, it's admitting that I'm done, that I can't grow anymore, that the cycle's over. And then we also explain why the pasuk says Gavam Hashem. Rami is to this. And the last Nakuda is just a small thing. So what does this have to do with the essence of Shane? One more tip. Is that Shane, the essence of Shane is? Hana. Hana. Hana Hazik. And if you want to increase the Yimei Ava and decrease the Yimei Sinah, so it's just a small point, it's about where you get Hana from. What we say is that if you get Hana from Olam Hazeh, like the Gashmias of Olam Hazeh, then you're more connected to the Yimei Sinah. And if you get your Hana from the Olam Abba, more connected to the Me'av, and it makes them longer. Like, you don't need the Yimei Sinah for half the month. 2 days a month is fine. 1 day a month is fine. To see the flaws and fix the rest of the month. But if you do connect it to Hana Olam Hazeh, the Hezek of Hana Olam Hazeh, then Yimei'av. Yimei'av is much more shortened. So this Torah, it's huge, no? It's huge. And it's a fair Rashi. Pam Mechusa, Pam Megula. Yimei Ava, Yimei Sinah. Like, Pam Megula is literally Yimei Ava. Pam Mechusa is Yimei Sinah. Because it's Yimei Ava, and that's basically what your whole life is. It's a big, big Torah. It's probably why I'm married today. I'm saying it's probably why I'm in yeshiva today. It's I went over this Torah many, many times. So now you can also. It's very, very important. This is the whole thing. I've photocopied the whole piece for you guys.
Sure.
What do you guys think? What do you think about this idea?
It's a different perspective.
It's how you're supposed to we should do a Torah. We should bring it to life.
Where was the piece on Ix place? Ixvon? Like, it comes from Chochmah, the sadness. Where was that? In
oh, Chochmah Leiv? That was in Rav Kook.
Right,
Ayin.
The bottom over there.
Uh-huh.
It's Chochmah Leiv.
It's cool because this idea is found from Rav Kook in this cool way. He talks about like Atzvon, again, like a very different way. He says like all my real sadness is like lightning bolt that shows me like what I have to do. And then Rabbi Nachman also has this idea as well. It's like it's cool. Oh yeah, one more vote. Oh, I forgot to say one more thing. So then so we could say the Yimei Sina when you're basically asleep, a Tardema of Galus. And the Yimei Ava is basically when we're awake, when we're sleeping. So what are we going to the Gemara? That when you're awake, you need to, you have to be extra careful to put yourself asleep in a safe place. So prepare yourself. We just did it. We just woke up. We got woke. Prepare ourselves that in the Yimei Sina, we know it's coming and we know how to respond. So we just protect ourselves from Mazik. It's good, no? Chazak.
Mayor.
Okay. See,
I'm around hard to fall, but hard to get up.